That was worth coming over for. I was thinking of that song yesterday and asked Mike to sing it. I think it fits the message. Title of the message, John Lost His Head, But Not His Life. He lost his head, but he didn't lose his life. As we shall see, the gospel will cost us our life. Now, maybe not in this manner. Today it's more subtle. It's so much more subtle. It's easier to look an enemy in the eye, eye to eye, than it is with the subtlety that goes on. Compromise. It's a lot easier just to look him right in the eye and know who the enemy is. But our life is always going to be, there will always be times when this earthly life will conflict with our new and real life in the Lord Jesus Christ. It will always happen. We will be faced with following Christ on the narrow road or compromise. From time to time, we'll always be faced with it. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Look in verse 15. Well, let's go to verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. They don't want to go back. They don't want to go back. When faced with it, they want to follow on to know the Lord, to be with Him. Now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Now look over in Matthew chapter 10. Look in verse 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that finds this earthly life, this is what he gives himself to. He lays himself out to this earthly life. He's going to lose it. That's what our Lord says. Now, that doesn't mean you go quit your job, or doesn't mean you have to go take a bad paying job. It just means that if that's your aim and your goal, you're going to lose it. When you die, it's not going to go with you. You're not going to take it with you. It'll be over with. We have a little while to live on this earth. As Job says in Job chapter 9, my life is swifter than a post, swifter than a ship, and he says, swifter than an eagle flying to its prey. He said, that's how fast it's gone. And if you lay yourself out to this life, you'll lose it. That's not saying you young people don't get an education, get a good education, you get a good job, but I'm telling you, if you lay yourself out to this life, eventually it's over. It's over. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Where do you think John is right now? Where do you think Herod is? Herodias. Don't you think she hates the thought of seeing that face every day that she had him beheaded? John's with the Lord. He lost his head, but he didn't lose his life. We must expect conflict. The absence of conflict over the gospel reveals a real problem. There's a real problem if I don't have any conflict over it. If I'm okay, they're okay, we're all okay. Somebody's not okay. Somebody's messed up. We don't go looking for conflict. But faithfulness to the gospel, to the preaching of Christ and Him crucified, will bring it. It's going to bring it. Now, who was John? John was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. John was the messenger. A messenger. Look over in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. Look in verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he, because there's only one really great one in the kingdom of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the greatest. The rest of us are on equal footing in Him. But He's the messenger. He's the forerunner. John's coming was the fulfilling of Scripture. There He is. Malachi. In Malachi 3:1. Speaks of Him being the messenger coming. There He is. He's the fulfilling of Scripture. He's coming to represent or to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's God's messenger. He's not just a messenger. He's God's messenger. He's called of God, sent of God, ordained of God, to point out to Israel, Behold the Lamb of God. He's God's messenger. And He's the last of the Old Testament prophets. Israel has not had another prophet since. And they won't. And there are no more prophets. There are pastors and teachers, but there are no more prophets. He's the last of them. Christ is that prophet. He's that prophet that should come. And there's none other beside Him now. He's that prophet. And John was a faithful witness unto the end of the Lord Jesus Christ. He cried out, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And the next day, over in the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and 2, there where it speaks of John. The next day, he sees Jesus coming, and he said again, Behold the Lamb of God. His message never changed. Not at all. He was a faithful witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why is he in prison? He's a prophet. He's the Lord's messenger. He's sent of God. He told the truth. Why is this man in prison? I'll tell you why he's in prison. He's in prison for telling the truth. He's in prison because of his message. It was offensive. And he stood before Herod the king. He did not compromise. Think about this. I mean, this man did not take the edge off the sword. He's standing before the king. Who's the greatest now? Who's the greatest here? John the Baptist or King Herod? John the Baptist. And he's standing there and he does not cow down to that king. He tells him the truth about his sin. He tells him the truth about what he's done, and it's wrong. He said, you're wrong, you're dead wrong. You're wrong. John spoke the truth, and he spoke the truth at all times, no matter who he stood before. Look over in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Look in verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, was he impressed? Would I be impressed? How would I handle that? How would I handle that? How would I handle the most prominent men in this town coming to this service? How would I handle the president coming to this service? How would I handle that? John, how are you going to handle it? He said unto them, O generation of vipers. Boy, that's not nice. That's not politically correct, is it? He called them vipers. You snakes, you poisonous snakes is what you are. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. You need to repent. He's looking to the Pharisees, those Sadducees. And he's saying to them, you need to repent just like these others need to repent. Don't think you're above repentance. You need to repent. You need to be on the same level these others are who are being baptized in, confessing their sins. One place, we be not sinners, we're Abraham's seed. No, he said, you're vipers. That's what you are, you're vipers. Truth exposes hypocrisy. If you want to expose hypocrisy, it's going to be with truth. Truth exposes a false refuge. Truth exposes lies. If you want to expose a lie, you tell the truth. If you want to see how crooked a stick is, just lay a straight one down beside of it. That's all you have to do. If you have a crooked stick, it's got a bow. If you have one that's got a bow in it, you just put a straight edge on it. You know, out the shop, sometimes we have metal come in, and you can't, you're looking at it, you can't really tell if it's got that much of a bow in it at all. If it's 20 feet long. But then you take a straight edge, that's straight, and you let it right across the top of that beam. And if it's got a bow, it shows. You can see daylight underneath it. You want to expose a lie? You slay the truth on it. And it'll show you how crooked it is. Truth exposes hypocrisy. It exposes falsehood. It exposes lies. Truth pierces the heart of a man and lays it in the dust. It'll run the rats out of the hole. Truth convicts of sin. Not always leads, and it doesn't always lead to salvation. Not always. David, thou art the man. That led David to true repentance, didn't it? David, it broke David's heart when Nathan said, thou art the man. It pierced his heart. It just crushed him. But when John said to Herod, what you are doing, taking your brother's wife, is not right before God. I know you're the king, and you make the laws of your kingdom. But you got to abide by God's law. No one is exempt from God's law. And what you're doing is dead wrong. Did it break his heart? Made him mad. Made him mad. Look over in Acts chapter 2. Thank you. In Acts chapter 2, look in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's not dead. He's Lord and He's Christ. He's the anointed Savior. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we are in trouble with God. When they heard that God made that same Jesus whom they crucified, both Lord and Christ, they were cut to the heart, and they said, what are we going to do? We're in trouble. Here's what true repentance is. I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, the one you crucified, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, turn over to Acts chapter 5. Look in verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they heard the same message, didn't they? They heard the same, Christ crucified. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. You see the effect truth has? On one, it brings to repentance. On another, it makes him mad. Makes him mad. Herod, when he heard of Jesus, you go back to Mark, chapter 6, and verse 14, and King Herod heard of him, he heard of the Lord Jesus, for his name was spread abroad, and he said, I know who that is. His conscience bothered him. His conscience started bothering him. Because he knew, you see, John told him the truth about his sins and about his life. It made him mad and he put him in prison. And he cut his head off, as we read. And he said, I know who that is. That's John the Baptist. His conscience bothered him. Conscience ever bother you? Conscience bothered him, troubled him, screaming out at him. You see, he heard John. It says in verse 20, Herod feared John. He knew he was a just man. He knew he put a just man to death. He knew that. He knew what he did was wrong. He said, that's John the Baptist, risen from the dead. That's why mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Herod's conscience troubled him. It troubled him. He knew what he did was wrong. God has given every one of us, every human being, everyone that comes into this world is given a conscience. We know right from wrong, don't we? You can go to the darkest part of this world. They know it's wrong to kill. Steal. They know that. How do they know that? Because the law is written on the heart. God's given us a conscience. And we know it. Look over in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law, are a law unto themselves. They have the law written in their hearts, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience, also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. But their conscience bears witness. And when John told the truth to Herod, his conscience bothered him. It really started bothering him. Of course, what did he do about it? He put John in prison. He said, like, I'm the king. You don't tell me that. But it troubled him. Because when he heard of Christ, he said, that's John the Baptist. I shouldn't have done that. That's John the Baptist. That's why mighty works do show forth themselves in him. But God's given us all a conscience. We know right and wrong. But by sin, our conscience can be so seared. Now, you young people, listen to this. You old people, listen to this. Not young and old, it's just all of us listen to this. By sin, our conscience can be so seared that we're past feeling. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is how deceptive sin is. It's how damning it is, destructive it is. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, look in verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. They're going to leave the gospel. You know, you look around here and you think, nobody here would leave the gospel. I hope not. I pray not. But some have, haven't they? Over the years, some have. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. God loves everybody. You don't think of that as a doctrine of a devil, do you? When we think of doctrines of devils, we think of some cult. Jim Jones. Doctrines of devils is anything other than the gospel. Christ loves everybody. Christ died to save everybody. That is a doctrine of devils. Isn't it? It is. And he says some is going to give heed to that, of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Calloused over. You've seen something that's been just calloused over, crusted over, hardened. Can't even penetrate it no more. Given over to a reprobate mind. Can't even, void of judgment. And it's so subtle. It's so subtle how it happens. It's never just this explosion or, you know, it's just so subtle. And it happens over time. Look what sin led to. Is in verse 21, back in Mark 6. It troubled him. His conscience bothered him. But it didn't bother him enough to do the right thing, did it? In verse 21, and when a convenient day was come, Herod, on his birthday, he made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in, and she danced in front of him, and it pleased Herod, and them that sat with him, a bunch of wretched people, the king said unto the damsel, ask me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. You think God doesn't know what's going on? He's ordained all this. It's time, listen, I'm going to get to this. It's time for John to go home. His ministry has been fulfilled. He pointed out to Israel the Messiah, the King has come. Behold the Lamb of God. His ministry now has been fulfilled. His purpose has been fulfilled. And it's time to take him home. And this is the way he's going to go. And he swear unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I'll give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went and asked her mother. Of course, that old devious woman, she's still mad at John the Baptist for pointing that thing out. Man, that just bothered them. That just troubled them. And he just had to bring that up. He just had to tell that. Couldn't leave it alone. You know, he could have said a lot of things, not got himself in trouble. Because he did say a lot of things. Herod heard him gladly, he said. I mean, Herod heard him gladly. And John said a lot of things to Herod. John preached the gospel to Herod. It's hard to tell how many times John spoke to Herod and what Herod heard. The gospel is a savior of life unto life to some and a savior of death unto death to some. And that's what it proved to be to Herod. She came in and asked her mother what she should ask for. And she said, you asked for John the Baptist's head on a charger. That just make my day. And she did. She did. And the king was sorry for it, but his reputation was on the line. His pride. You know, it would have been better to me. I mean, my way of thinking, I'd say, are you crazy? I'll cut your head off. How about let's do that? But he couldn't do it. He had so much pride in him. There was so much pride in him. And before those men, he bowed down to it. He bowed down to doing the wrong thing because to save face. That's what he did. He loved himself and sin more than he loved John, God's messenger. The message John brought, the messenger, Herod loved himself and sin more. And let's get back to John here. John's end, and this is my closing, his end. False religion would have us believe that so-called getting saved is this happy, healthy, wealthy life God has a plan for your life. It wasn't that way for John, was it? Now, most everybody here do have a very stable, you have a pretty stable life, and you know, the Lord's blessed us, and He's given us material things, but we're going to be brought into situations where we're going to be in conflict. And here's John, sitting in prison, over the message he preached. Doesn't look like a healthy, wealthy life, does it? Not at all. In this world, he said, you shall have tribulations. You're going to have trouble. A faithful witness of Christ will have trouble. You'll have conflict. Our Lord said, the world will hate you. It will hate you. I'd say outside of this congregation, Henry is probably the most disliked man in this community. I'd say outside those who sat under his ministry and believed the gospel, I'd say he was the most disliked man in this community for the message he preached. You going to hear that mayhem? You don't want to go there. How many times has that been said? You don't want to go there. But John's life ended up in glory. And John is happy now. You remember once he sent his disciples to the Lord, they said, are you the one that should come or should we look for another? That was a low day, wasn't it? That was a low day. Sitting in that dungeon in shackles. And he's just sitting there, and here's what I see. John's a man just like me. You ever have those low days? You ever have a low day when you're just going to quit, stop, can't go no further? You ever have those? If not, you will. Sooner or later, if you live long enough. And John had one. He sent his disciples out to the Lord and said, ask him if he's the one. Ask him. Or should we look for another? But I tell you what, this day wasn't low. I bet when they came to execute him, take his head off, he was looking forward. He was looking forward to going to be with his Father. Was John's death untimely? Would you call it an untimely death? Would you call it an unfortunate death? Was it unfortunate? No. John was ripe for the picking. He served his time, and then it was time to go home when the Lord took him. He took him. I want to show you something, and I close. In verse 27, and immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother, and she thought she got the victory, didn't she? When his disciples heard of it, now I want you to notice the wording of this real close. They came and took up his corpse. John was gone. John was gone. They took up the body. His corpse. That's what they call it, a corpse. And they laid it in a tomb. John has vacated the building. John was out of prison. John was seated. He's up there with the Father. He's up there with the whole host of heaven. When they came and took up his house. That's what they took up, his corpse. And that's what they buried. We don't bury believers, we bury bodies. We bury clay houses is what we bury. Because that person is gone. And that person is with the Lord. That one verse just blessed me. That one verse of this whole thing. As I was reading this. They took up his corpse. John is gone. He's gone. He's not going to have another down day. He's not going to have another day where a day of doubt. You ever have days of doubt? Are you the one? Are you the one, or should we look for another? Oh, he's the one. And don't look for another. He's the one.